It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Call us rash, but those Saints players you've tripled up on, might be time to sell them. But who to bring in? Is it time for Magpies? And is now the moment to throw Aubameyang away? And will that mean he just comes straight back again? All the big questions and the answers coming up over the next half hour. Hello, Fantasy Manager. With us today, we've got Julien Laurent, journalist.
Hello, James.
Hello to you. Big smile on Julien's face. Also with us, broadcaster and former footballer Adrian Clark.
Hello.
And from the FPL family, Lee Bonfield.
Hello, James.
All right, let's get on to that big smile on Jules' face. Jules, 94 points last 94. Weekend.
Wow. Yes, yes, yes. I played my bench boost thinking that
you
Neil
played
Mopay,
your bench boost?
Yeah, hoping that Neil Mopay would do well and Lewis Dunk as well. I was hoping for no goals conceded.
You could always just put them in the team.
True, but my team looked good already the way it was, so I thought it could be a good time with Lundstrom there as well to play bench
right.
boost, which
okay.
was good. 12 points, he got me. And then obviously the Leicester battering of Southampton with
obviously
Jamie Vardy.
Obviously the Leicester battering of Southampton, because you captained Jamie Vardy.
I captained him, so I was pushing. Watching the game, part of me was like, okay, let's go easy on them now, because
when it was 4-0 and he still hadn't scored.
Yeah, and I was like, no, go for it. Go, please score.
Julie, right. Could you be any more smug this morning?
I mean,
this is outrageous, really.
I thought that he didn't have a very good... Are you in our league? Because I can't see you.
No, don't go there.
You're right at the bottom with James.
You had to go there.
I can see you now. Okay, fine.
So Jules has gone up to third, listener. You'll find this fascinating.
Third, yes.
He's 2 points behind Jack Lang, who's second, and three behind your other half.
Is she still
Sam.
At the top?
She's still at the top.
Oh, that makes it doesn't make me feel any better. That
is there a bit of banter in the house?
Like, there's a little
make
bit.
You feel like you're tenth and she's first.
You could say that. Yes, absolutely.
This business of Jules playing his bench boost, though, that seems really early in the season, Lee. Is that? Can you recognise the thinking behind that? Well, or should he have waited for the double game weeks later on in the season?
It feels early to me. I mean, typically, I would go a bit later in the season with the double game weeks, but Neil Mopay has come in for you, so can't argue with that. You can't argue with it.
I did think about waiting a bit. And
it was just fluke.
Jules is currently up in the top 21,000 managers worldwide in what is his first season as fancy Premier League manager.
Yeah, fluke. That's what it is.
So,
we'll get our coats, Adrian.
What's your tip this weekend, Guru?
So I don't want to brag too much. You know, French people just don't brag usually, but 2 weeks ago I did tell you on this show.
Yes.
It was your right time to play your wild card before the international break, and that Leicester were really where to put your money on.
Okay. Which Leicester players have you got, Jules?
So Vardy, Pereira and Maddison.
Okay.
Who, to be fair, in the last 3 weeks have brought me loads of points, the three of them. So I think if you still don't have any Leicester players, considering the run of fixtures they have as well coming up, I think it's the right time to bring in one or two. So Yunchu, for example, or Pereira again. I think Chilwell did very well at the weekend too. So there's a few that you can pick from that Leicester team.
Perez, who got Tielemans. The hat-trick, Lozard. Tielemans is another great shot. So many great assets. And I think everybody's wide awake to the potential in Fantasy Premier League terms of Leicester players after that 9-0. But the fixtures, Crystal Palace away this weekend, then home to Arsenal, then away at Brighton, then home to Everton or Watford, and then away at Villa Park. Those are really tasty-looking games. How many Leicester players have you got, Enley?
So I have Soyuncu at the back, and I have Maddison as well. So I don't have Vardy, but I am seriously considering him. Do you know what I particularly liked about that Leicester performance? Is that even after the 6th or the 7th or the 8th goal, whoever scored it went and got the ball, get it back to the centre spot. We want more goals. We want this to be a statement. I think in winning that, they went above temporarily Manchester City in the league up to 2nd. So it was a real statement by the Foxes. So they've got the form, they've got the fixtures. I am looking at Vardy, absolutely.
All right, Vardy, who's been a massive transfer in, now over 20% ownership. Everybody piling in on Jamie Vardy, and he's now become the highest scoring player in fantasy terms this season. Do you think, though, Adrian, after a 9-0, that we're going to see a much flatter performance, as often happens this weekend?
It's a tricky game, isn't it? Crystal Palace away. It's not. They've been poorer at home, haven't they, actually, the Eagles, than they have been on their travels. So, no, I can see Leicester scoring in the game. I was absolutely gutted to miss out on the Vardy fest. I really was. The other thing to mention, by the way, on Leicester City is that 9 of their players, this is a joint high in the Premier League, 9 have played 70% or more of minutes so far. So basically, he plays the same team almost every single week. So if you've got a regular, like you have, Jules, then they're likely to start right. most times.
Do you think that Perez might start to disrupt that now that he's come into
possibly.
Such
possibly? Yeah, that he is a little bit of a maverick, isn't he? I sense that in the short term he'll be in and out of the team rather than an absolute fixture.
Okay, well, Leicester then at Selhurst Park this weekend. After this, let's take a look at some of the other intriguing game week 11 fixtures. Game week 11, in which none of the top six teams play any other of the top six teams, which suggests potentially it could be a high-scoring week at last after some leaner game weeks of late. Which fixture, Jules, has caught your attention?
So I decided to go for the Man City-Southampton game.
Right.
Because
they're the team that scores more goals
against,
and Southampton are the team that concede the exactly. most goals. So who are you tipping up, Man City players?
And also, I find fascinating that in the space of 3 days, we will have two Man City-Southampton games
right.
because obviously they played each other in the League Cup on Tuesday night.
Right, it finished 3-1. Aguero got a brace. Will he even start this weekend?
Yeah, it's interesting to look at the pattern of game that Aguero started or not. Basically,
right.
he's played in midweek and not at the weekend for the last 3 weeks.
Right. And you see that continuing this time?
I really believe that Gabriel Jesus, who did come off, albeit at the 87th minute against Southampton in midweek, will start again ahead of Aguero.
Right. Do you think so, Jules? Because for me, that would mean that Jesus would be playing more. He'd have three starts in 7 days under Pep, effectively, which would be quite unusual for Pep. I mean, I must admit, I see Aguero starting this game, and if anything, he might go with the two again like he did in midweek.
But then I can again tell you that they go away to Atalanta next week in the Champions League,
sure.
which I can't see Gabriel Jesus started that game.
Okay.
And I would see Aguero starting. And then again, it would be three starts in 7 days for Aguero in the same way.
Yeah, sure.
So Sterling and De Bruyne were both rested midweek. Does that mean that they're guaranteed of a start? And how much of a factor is it, the fact that Man City are actually playing catch-up at the moment? So Pep maybe is going to temper some of his normal turnover instincts and think, no, I've got to go with my best players and make up those 6 points on Liverpool.
Yes, I think he will go with his best team
right.
of the moment, really, although it's hard to try to guess sometimes with him. But I think Sterling and KDB will start. Obviously, they are his best player. We've seen tactically him playing a kind of almost different formation in a 1-4-4-1 formation in the league in the last two games, with David Silva maybe then playing a bit higher up when they have the ball. I think bringing David Silva, if you don't have him, could be a good shout too. But I do think Sterling and De Bruyne would start.
Aguero, who we were talking about, is the second most transferred out this week. And I think maybe a lot of people are looking at this Southampton game as a last chance for Kun. Another player who maybe is worth looking into is João Cancelo. What do you think about him as a player who offers a lot going forward as well as potentially at the back, clean sheet against Saints?
He's a steady player. I commentated on the last Manchester City game, and he didn't create many chances.
No,
I think he was neat
yeah.
and tidy. I don't think he's quite as dynamic as Kyle Walker. I don't see him as being the kind of marauding fullback that's going to be knocking a stream of crosses into the box. I know that he's more expensive, but I think Benjamin Mendy on the other side is probably a better pick.
Right, that's who Lee wants to bring in, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. I think we've seen last season how Mendy can get points at both ends of the pitch. And,
right.
and were it not for a couple of wayward shots, maybe he's just finding his feet back in that team. A couple of wayward shots last game week, he would have got even more points than he did get. And were it not for the Kevin De Bruyne decision that came after the game about the, you know, the goal that wasn't,
right.
Mendy would have had the assist for that and two bonus points. So maybe a few more of us would be talking about Mendy had he got those 9 points.
How much does he cost you, a Benjamin Mendy?
He's 5.9 in the game right now.
Right.
So for me to go from Otter Mendy to Mendy, which is what I'm looking at,
right.
I need to find 0.5 from somewhere.
You need to find an Otter 0.5.
You're right.
Okay, Lee, your game that you're thinking might yield fantasy points is Bournemouth's clash with Man United.
Well, do you know what? I picked it more through intrigue than I thought it would yield a lot of FPL points, because Bournemouth have now got back-to-back clean sheets, which is not necessarily something that we would associate with Bournemouth, I don't think. Free-flowing attack and Wilson and King and in previous seasons, Fraser, etc. Yes, we're all those guys. But actually, back-to-back clean sheets. Now, they're not scoring a lot of goals either,
no.
Which is something that has been levelled at Manchester United previously this season. So I'm kind of intrigued. I don't know whether this is going to be 0-0 or whether it's going to be, you know, free scoring. I suggest that it's going to be tight.
Again, to reference the League Cup midweek, once again, Martial and Rashford looking like really good options if they play together up front. And Rashford in particular, who just develops and develops and develops at the moment.
He seems happier, doesn't he, when he's not alone up top, whether it's Daniel James alongside him or Anthony Martial. I think that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has, I don't want to say stumbled, but I think he probably has stumbled on a formula that seems to work for his front guys. Having one of his three forward players up top on their own just wasn't working. So I think United forwards could be the way to go. It's just one of them might have to miss out each week.
I think you're absolutely spot on with that. And the key, I think, for United is Martial. Mm. From an FPL perspective, we love him because he's out of position. He's a midfielder that plays in a number nine. So he's going to cost you 7 points something, maybe 7.5, 7.6. Not going to be that expensive. Mm. But Manchester United's win rate under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is only 28% when he doesn't start, and it goes up to 77% when he does start. So that tells you how important he is to that side.
So as long as he stays fit, he looks like a really good investment.
Yes. Yeah, he's 7.6 million and only 4.8% ownership. So
really?
Differential. Right? Yeah, it'd be interesting as well.
Okay. Adrian, you've earmarked Everton Spurs of being of interest.
Well, I'm thinking forward players in this game because Spurs love it at Goodison Park. 9 goals in their last 2 visits. And Everton, we've done a bit of analysis on Everton this week. The last 2 games, okay, they've won well against West Ham, not so good at Brighton. But they doubled the number of shots on target they had. They were averaging 3.5 up until those last 2 games. They've had 16 shots on target across the last 2 matches. There's a change in mindset at Goodison. They've upped the tempo a little bit. You've got Richarlison up top, Walcott's back in the team, Iwobi's in a different role. And none of them are that expensive. We know the Spurs are a little bit shaky at the moment, short on confidence. And statistically, this is one of my favourite stats of the season so far. Spurs have faced the second most shots on target this season behind Norwich City.
Really?
So they are so open
that
I just feel that if Everton attack this game, they can get joy. And I'm looking at Iwobi's 5.8, Walcott 6.2. Richarlison's the one, I think.
How much is he?
Midfielder, 7.9. But he is playing in the striker's position right now.
OK. And where do you stand on the Lucas Dean thing?
Yeah,
I
ditched him earlier on in the campaign. Just not enough clean sheets for me for the price he's at. So I've let him go. I do have Kane in my team. I've been fairly loyal to Harry, and I'm definitely going to stick with him because he tends to score in this fixture.
What about Gazzaniga as well? Because against Liverpool, he was really outstanding, to be fair, and I think he got 8 points. He's still quite cheap at 4.4 million, and obviously we talked about differentials with Martial. He's 1.7% of ownership, so
He's going to really have to rack up those save points, though, because I think, you know, the clean sheets are not really there for Spurs right now. They've got, I think, problems at the back. And like Adrian was saying, they're facing so many shots. That's why Gazzaniga got the eight points. He had to save 12 shots.
True.
So, yeah, nice and cheap, but not sure about that one right now.
OK. Quick word for the Villa with Poole fixture this weekend. Obviously, you've got all your favourites there, like Salah, Mane and Kane. But what about James Milner? James Milner, who's been involved in 4 goals in his last 4 Premier League games against his former side, Aston Villa. 2 goals, 2 assists. So, you know,
he definitely doesn't play. He played 90 minutes in the League Cup, sadly. Scored the penalty. Looked great amongst all of those young players. But, hasn't got the legs for 2 games in 3 or 4 days, I'm afraid.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
don't bring him in, James.
Don't bring him in. Right. Let's move on then, everyone, to the long view. Long view, everybody, as we plot a course into future weeks to see where we need to be making our investments. Talked about Leicester's fixtures and how good they look. Norwich are great fixtures as well. Jules, you tempted by any Canaries right now?
No.
All right, then.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. They've got a great fixture. Brighton, Watford, Everton, Arsenal, Southampton and Sheffield United.
Yeah.
Obviously, Watford, Arsenal and Sheffield United at home.
Even a bit of Tim Krul, if his knee holds up.
OK, Krul is the one, if he can stay fit, you're right, where I think there's potential there. But again, I think they, like Aid said, they concede so many shots that he will have to make a lot of saves because there's not many clean sheets there. And a bit like Gazzaniga, I think it would be the same problematic.
All
However,
right,
I'm still not sure, even going forward, Buendia and Cantwell and Pukki.
I believe there are still managers out there with Pukki
in
their team.
Yeah, I like the faith. I mean, maybe Iran in this room, would you think?
Yeah,
still
leave
have
it
Pukki?
Out, leave
I'm
it
not
out.
Sure. Who still have Pukki in this room?
There's only one person left at the party, and it's me.
I admire your faith.
Well, I know, and we've mentioned the fact the fixtures look good, and on that basis, he might stay. I mean, he feels like he's becoming a bit more of a differential. No, he's got to leave my team at some stage, but yeah. I've got other things I need to sort out this week.
A couple of other teams that do have nice runs of games awaiting them. Arsenal are one, Adrian. Mm.
Got a tough one this weekend at home to Wolves. Mm. Leicester away is not easy, but then Southampton at home, Norwich away, Brighton home, West Ham away. I can see Arsenal racking up a decent run here. I'm looking at Tierney. I think he's provided a lot of assists already in the Europa League, in the Carabao Cup. He whips quality balls into the box.
Nice player.
Think that will help Lacazette. It will potentially help Aubameyang, even Pepe coming in.
All right, you're not going to get any clean sheets from him, though, probably.
Well, you say that. I mean, Arsenal were clean sheeted against Bournemouth, didn't they? But no, I don't think you can rely on the Gunners to shut out at the back. But look, Pepe on set plays as well.
Right.
He is a more confident player now than the last time I was on the show. He's whacked in a couple of direct free kicks. He takes all the corners, it seems now, all the wide free kicks. And Arsenal are secretly pretty handy from set plays. They don't have that rep, but they do tend to score quite a few from those.
So expensive in FPL though, Pepe, isn't he? He's up in that Kevin De Bruyne bracket.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's better value out there. But
who have you got then from the Gunners?
I've got Aubameyang.
Have you? Because I just got rid of him this week on the basis that he hasn't scored in 3 weeks. And I know that forwards can go through that kind of rut and then bounce back. But there's been a positional change with him.
Yes, of course, with Lacazette coming back from injury. And if you start Pepe as well, I think Emery is still trying to find the right formula where you can play them all together in the best way. So we saw the 4-4-2 formation against Crystal Palace. That didn't really work that well. And I think Aubameyang will go back a bit more on the left-hand side. But just to finish on Adrian's point with Tierney, the fact that Tierney is so attacking fullback, that means that he will leave, that Aubameyang, even if he starts on the left, will come inside to leave that whole left-hand side for Tierney. So he might still create, he might still have a few chances, but I would go for Lacazette ahead of Aubameyang.
Would you? Yeah, statistically, it doesn't impact him too much, Aubameyang. He scores pretty much just the same amount of goals when he comes in off the left-hand side, particularly at Emirates Stadium, less so maybe away from home. But Arsenal don't score as many goals away from home anyway. But yeah, I don't think it bothers him too much. And like I said, you've got to remember, he's not a Firmino, but he is quite a good pivot, especially for Aubameyang. He'll drop in and leave spaces for Aubameyang to run into.
OK. Newcastle. That's right, Newcastle. Newcastle are a club with some decent games coming up. They're away at West Ham this weekend. Then they've got Bournemouth at home, Aston Villa away, City, which is not great, at home. And then Sheffield United away, and then Southampton at home. They've already had three clean sheets this season in a campaign which has seen clean sheets few and far between. Also, in home games in particular, they've only conceded one goal in their last three matches at St James's. They're cheap as well. I mean, particularly if you're looking at Newcastle defenders. Is there value there, Lee? Are you tempted at all?
Yeah, it could be. I noticed in the Dream Team for last game week, you had Lascelles and Fernandes as well. Mm. So, Fernandes got the assist for the Lascelles goal. So that's where they're going to get their points from in that particular week. I'm not sure I'm really convinced yet by them defensively. I'd like to see a bit more consistency. As you mentioned, James, they do have a couple of clean sheets. I do like them going forward, though. I think they are...
Really?
Yeah, so I like Joe Linton. I think he's a good player. I think he's got some charismatic and inconsistent players around him, though. If you look at Almiron, you look at Saint-Maximin, I like them, but I don't think Joe Linton or any of the fans know what those guys are going to do. They're a bit kind of... There's no pattern to their play.
I know where you're coming from. I just think from a fantasy league perspective, I don't think you could touch any of their forward players.
Yeah.
They just
don't score enough, do they? 24 points, just looking back. Yeah. The only time he's returned was back in week three when he got 8 points. Since then, it's all been twos and ones.
Yeah, I think the three of them individually are quite a talented players. And I like looking at them all. If they could get that to click, maybe one to look out for. But I'm clutching at straws.
Sam Bonfield
can tell.
Would never go through.
She would never go there, would she?
She would be outraged by what you just said.
Okay. Next up then, let's have a look at listener questions. Many thanks to everyone who sent in a tweet with the hashtag FPLpod. The question that we put out on Wednesday was, stick or twist, which player in your side are you considering selling but you can't decide, just quickly around the studio, do you have a player like that, Adrian?
Yeah, absolutely, I do, yeah.
Who's
Sebastian
that?
Haller. I've been very loyal to him.
Right.
I've been, because the run of fixtures was reasonable for West Ham, and he's not delivered enough points. But I can't let him go this week because they've got Newcastle at home, and you'd think if there's any time he might pick up a brace, it will be in this game. So I'm going to give him one more week, but the chances are I think Haller is will soon be history.
Yeah, just 2 points in each of the last two game weeks. Prior to that, he had a couple of five-point returns, so just enough to kind of keep you in doubt. What about you, Lee?
Yeah, so I'll be looking at Pukki. We mentioned him earlier in the podcast. I feel like I've got to stick with him because I've got other things to sort out, and the fixtures, as we mentioned, look good. So, yeah, he's a stick, but reluctantly.
OK, and Julien?
You mean in my team of 94 points? I mean, it looks pretty good, I have to say.
He barely mentioned that today.
Hudson-Odoi, maybe, is the one that I would consider. But I love my boys. I'm happy the way it is for now.
All right, well, let's see what listeners have sent in. Jamie Kitching says Aubameyang, which was very much the dilemma that I was wrestling with. Dinesh says Callum Wilson, who's...
He's been in bad form.
Yeah.
He's in bad form. Bad,
yeah. Well, he was in that incredible run where he scored with all five of his shots on target.
He's gone with a 4-4-2, Eddie Howe, in the last three games. So he's given him a partner, and he's gone backwards.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
I don't think he likes it, Callum Wilson.
So should Dinesh get rid?
Yeah, I would suggest there's better value for the price out there.
You know what'll happen as soon as you get rid of him.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? Gav Bunyan wants to get rid of Felipe Anderson, or does he?
I think you should get rid of Felipe Anderson. Better options, even in that West Ham side, never mind in his price bracket. Yep.
Right, OK. And Aravind Selvan, who says Son, ? In brackets, good fixture already, making a few returns, even though a tough time for Spurs. What do you think, Julian?
I would keep Son.
Would you?
Yeah, I think I would. I think he can get a bit of momentum. And they will, listen, especially with the game at Everton, like Adrian was saying, where they usually score a lot, and Son has been very good last season. And especially, I think it would be wise maybe just to keep it this week and then see what happens.
Altav Reddit says Cantwell. Altav Reddit wants to sell but can't find a better replacement in the same price range. That's an issue here, isn't it? Because Cantwell's 4.8.
It's a big issue. I do get the feeling that Cantwell's dipped and he might soon be out of the team. O'Neill Hernandez is a little bit more expensive. Is likely, I think, to come in for him in the long term. My best suggestion, and I've got him in my team as a filler, really, and that's Bukayo Saka. He's only 4.5. Okay. 4.5, which is dirt cheap, really, for a guy that's in the Arsenal first team at the moment. He's been starting. My hunch now is that he'll be back on the bench. So maybe it's not the best time, but he's a good filler for Cantwell.
You've got Adama Traore as well, who's 5.1, so, you know, 0.3 more than Cantwell.
Right.
But, and again, you never know really with him. He could have one amazing game and then the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's
I like
potential
that.
There.
Probably going to give you more returns than Cantwell's doing at the moment. Certainly.
At the moment, for sure, yeah.
Okay, nice suggestions, guys. Ishan says Aguero doesn't justify his price tag. What do you say to that, Lee?
Well, it's a tricky one, isn't it? I don't think anybody's going to, despite the looks I'm getting from Julian right now, I don't think you're going to take Aguero out before Southampton at home.
Pep might.
Well, we've had this conversation. I don't think that he will. I think he's got to start him at home at Southampton. But after that, the City fixtures not only get a bit tougher, but also then you have this whole rotation every week.
Right.
You can't have somebody of Aguero's price being not nailed on in your team.
Okay, fair enough. Leon raises a very interesting one. Says Firmino, who has blanked the last four game weeks. Remember when everyone was saying, forget Mane and Salah, the smart move is to go for Firmino? It's not worked out at all, has it?
There should be points in the game for someone like Firmino, who, even if he doesn't assist or score, he does so much for his team that he should get an extra two or three there and there, you know, for the...
And when
in the box.
You've got enough points already, Julian.
Yeah, right,
come on.
I don't have Firmino in my team, but I can see the dilemma. I can see
when that happens, we should bring Firmino in, but right now...
Right now, we don't have Firmino. I think there's more strikers who would bring you more points than him.
Absolutely.
Having said that, the Liverpool fixtures do look really nice from game week 13 after the City game.
After
so,
the City game, you're right. Yeah,
maybe have a look at him over the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
What happens,
Piyush, we'll just finish off on this, says, should I swap Kane for Vardy or stick to Kane? Adrian, you've got Kane still, haven't you?
Yeah.
Anybody else still got Kane?
No.
Sam has. Right, and
I trust Kane. Spurs have been awful. They really have. And I think they'll continue to be up and down this season. They'll have their good days, but they will have plenty of bad. But I still retain faith that Harry Kane will
But if you're looking at a direct choice of Kane or Vardy...
Well, look, Vardy's the main man at the moment, but who's to say that he's able to maintain it? Look, I'm a big fan of Vardy, but I missed the boat on him,
right?
And I'm just pretending it's not happening.
Would you trust Kane with the armband, though, Adrian? Would you trust him? 10.8, 10.9 in the game. You've got to put that armband on him.
Not when I've got Salah or KDB at the moment, so no.
I think if you're looking at a direct choice between Kane and Vardy, and I come to you, Jules, with your 94 points.
No, I would go for Vardy.
It's Vardy.
I actually sold Kane 3 weeks ago for Vardy.
Right.
To bring Vardy
just
on.
So we're clear, how many points did you get this week, Julian? We've hardly mentioned it.
This week? Hang on, because I had another week with 92.
Up next, listener.
I think maybe.
It's a central differential. Essential differential, everybody. Players with low ownership among managers worldwide who we think represent good investments. I'm just going to throw a couple out here to kick us off. Perez, hat-trick hero last weekend at St Mary's, only 4.9 ownership, only 6.1 million. Is that someone you'd be looking at?
Now, James. He's not going to come up against the Saints defence as obliging as that every week. So I think we see some consistency.
What I would say is that he's a streaky player. Like, you cast your mind back to his days at Newcastle. He'd go long periods without scoring, and then he'd hit these hot streaks.
But he has to play to do that. Do you think he'll actually continue to get a role in the team?
I'm just not sure. He's not one of the nine that plays it week in, week out for Brendan Rodgers.
What about, and it's a similar issue, Christian Pulisic, who made such an incredible return to the team?
He was brilliant, wasn't he? And the temptation is to follow Pulisic. I won't be, because I've got Hudson-Odoi at six, and Pulisic is 7.1. Hudson-Odoi has been in just as good form. I think he'll score as many points. The problem I've got is that they'll all rotate with Willian.
Yeah.
And I think one of them will always miss out. So I'm happy to stick with Hudson-Odoi at six, but at 7.1, I want him to start.
Anyone tempted by Pulisic?
Pulisic started in midweek as well in the League Cup, which is two starts in a row for someone who hadn't started since August. I'm not sure if he will start a third game in a row. How good has he been in that, you know, with his hat-trick game? I agree with Ed. I think I would go for Hudson-Odoi being the starter.
I'm considering him. I think he's hitting the ground running now. So he played in the Gold Cup, obviously, in the summer. First couple of game weeks, maybe looked as if he needed a bit of a rest. So Frank Lampard did absolutely the right thing. Took him out of the team for 3 or 4 weeks. So everybody, you know, no one's looking at Pulisic. Put his arm around him, made sure he got lots of R&R. He comes back and hits that hat-trick. So I think we are one or two games away from everybody piling onto Pulisic.
And you think, in Frank Lampard's mind, that he's the starter now in his ideal lineup?
Well, it'd be interesting.
Maybe Hudson-Odoi.
I mean, I don't envy Adrian's position in having Callum Hudson-Odoi right now, because I think they're both fighting it out for that left-hand spot. I think they are both pretty versatile and can play other positions, but primarily that left-hand side is going to be them too, I think.
Interesting. Who are your picks then this week? Jules, what's your differential suggestion?
So mine is Dwight McNeil.
Burnley.
Yes. He's only owned by 0.5% of the managers.
And is there a reason for that, do you think?
Yes, because I think if you look at the Burnley run of fixtures coming up, they're really good. They're away at Sheffield United, then at home against West Ham, then away at Watford, and then at home to Crystal Palace. And I think this is typically the kind of game where McNeil will play every single time, will put a lot of crosses in for Barnes, Woods, or onset pieces as well for his centre-backs. And I can definitely see him getting a lot of points. At 6 million, he already has 42 points for the season, which is quite a good return, to be fair.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be quite a clever move.
OK. Lee, you're tipping up Mope, who Jules was in on a couple of weeks ago, weren't you, Jules?
Yes.
Absolutely. I think any team that's playing Norwich right now, bless them, we've mentioned it before, giving up a lot of shots, conceding a lot of goals. So Neil Maupay is on penalties for Brighton. The two goals that he scored so far, one was the one that Lloris kind of caught and then dropped. The other one was the penalty that was kind of a bit dubiously given by VAR. So we haven't seen him be a goal machine as yet. I'm wondering whether this is the week. Norwich at home, Brighton are good at home, Norwich bad on the road. It's all set up for a Neil Maupay hat-trick.
Although, this is why I captained Callum Wilson 2 weeks ago when they, another South Coast team, hosted Norwich and it was 0-0. So you just don't know, do you? Well, Adrian, who are you tipping up?
I'm going to go with the Leicester City player, actually. And for me, one of the biggest bargains out there, 5.9, only 0.7% of players have got him. That's Harvey Barnes. He's in the team at the moment. He's in the team. He provides great ammunition for Jamie Vardy. He has a lot of shots. I looked at this. He's only had six fewer shots than Jamie Vardy, who's the centre forward. So he's a guy that maybe should score more goals than he does score. And of course, he did in the Championship. So he might be a player that explodes into life as Leicester build and grow. He's only started 6 of 10 games and he's already got 32 points. I think that he's one to keep your eye on.
Did Brilliant. You see his reaction when Rodgers bought him off in that game against Southampton? Bought him off about 6 or 7 nil in, and rather than, you know, oh, well played, good game, he was devastated that he hadn't gotten the score sheet. So there's a guy that's hungry for goals. So that's a great pick. Mm.
Interesting. There's a guy whose team scored 9 goals and he wasn't actually involved in it. Did he assist?
He got a couple of assists. He wanted that goal, okay. You know?
All right, so there's that. Mope, by the way, the numbers on him, 1.3% ownership and $6 million the price tag. After this, we'll discover who people are thinking to move in and out of their teams this week and who gets to wear the armband. All right, Jules, let's start with you. Making any transfers this week, are you?
I've got 2 free transfers that I can use. I wish I could send you one if you needed one.
That's a new chip.
And like I said earlier, in all
seriousness... You wait till I play my bench boost later. We'll see.
Yeah, you can play your wild card. Oh, hang on. Oh, no, just, that was
who are you
going
to bring in, Jules?
Jules, did you plead to come on this week's show?
You weren't booked, were you? I know I was booked. It's just that when I saw my score, I was like, this is a good time for me. For all the bad weeks I had. You know, let's not forget I started the season with Pablo Fornals in my team. So, you know, I think Callum Hudson-Odoi is the one that I'm going to think of a lot today and tomorrow, right, up to the deadline on Saturday, moving him or not. And apart from that, I think that the team is good.
And who are you tempted to bring in?
Dwight McNeil.
Yeah, yes, okay. Yeah, you're going to back up your prediction there. Okay, good. Lee, what about you?
So I do have 2 free transfers, right, and I'm thinking of spending them on fixing problems. Pookie's one of them.
Right.
But Otamendi is another one. I think he played in the League Cup more or less the whole game, so that tells you a lot about how Pep Guardiola is protecting his other centre-halves that he has fit right now, including actually Fernandinho, who's not used to playing there but seems to be preferred over Otamendi. So I do need to get rid of Otamendi, I think. Question is, do I go up to Mendy or somebody else, Robertson maybe even, or do I go down to Rico or somebody else? So at the minute, I'm favouring the move to Rico so that I can take some more money out, roll that extra transfer so that I've got 2 free transfers next week and some money in the bank.
Right, and Rico's still, what, 4.2 million? And starting for a team that's notching up clean sheets at the moment. So
yeah, and he takes a lot of set pieces for Bournemouth as well. Right. So I'm a little bit cautious of Lloyd Kelly coming in, potentially. Mm. But at the moment, Rico's doing everything to keep his place, including corners and free kicks. So it looks like a nice pick.
Brilliant. What about you, Mr. Adrian?
Well, I'm sitting on a little pile of cash, as it happens, 1.9. But I've got a little 3-week strategy lined up in my head. So part one, right, is Otamendi's gone. Okay. Never liked him anyway. And Mendy's going to come in.
Right.
So I'm spending a little bit extra there.
Okay.
And then comes the controversy.
Yeah.
Mane is going to come in.
Right.
Maybe in week 3.
This is next week, is it?
No, I think the week after, Pookie is going to come in.
What?
And I know, yeah.
Wow.
Because I don't believe he's become a bad player overnight. This boy can finish. Norwich still creating plenty of chances.
Right. I've this got boy faith. Is finished.
And he's at home to Watford.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. He couldn't resist.
So Haller out, Pookie in. And guess what that frees me up for in week 3 post City Liverpool?
Literally no idea.
It gives me the chance to bring Mane in alongside Salah. I want to double up on the pair of them, but it does mean I sacrifice Kevin De Bruyne, who I don't trust with his injuries. I don't trust him. He's carrying some knocks at the moment. I'm going to go with
Pookie in, Kevin De Bruyne out, just so we can summarise what we're talking about.
Look, but don't ignore Mane.
It takes 3 weeks work to make it happen.
I'm telling you.
It's worth it.
Watch this space.
All right. Well, I was not expecting that, Adrian. Thanks. Yeah. Very, very good. All right. And who's going to wear the captain's armband for you this weekend?
Before he gets the sack, Kevin De Bruyne.
Is he?
Okay.
Lee?
So De Bruyne is also on my list, but I have Sterling as well.
Right.
And since Mendy's come into the team, Mendy provides the width so that Sterling doesn't have to. Sterling is drifting far more central and getting into those dangerous positions. We saw it last game week. We've seen it in other competitions as well. So I feel like I've captained him a lot this season and he's not come in for me. So he owes me. He's my captain.
Sterling.
Yes.
Jules?
I've got Jamie Vardy as captain right now and he's done really good for me the last few weeks. I'm tempted to go with De Bruyne, because he's the only Man City players I've got in my team and I think they will score a lot against Southampton. I might just still keep Vardy as captain.
I think Palace might be tougher.
That's why.
It's a tricky one. I took a hit this week to bring in Sterling because Saints, and it looks such a lopsided fixture that I'm even wondering about triple captaining. And if it wasn't for the fact that you just don't know what Pep's going to do, what curveball he's going to throw with his selection, then I'd be really tempted. But Sterling, I think you're rightly, for the armband this week, looks like a really...
Are you going for Sterling, James?
I think I will.
I might change my decision.
he's joking, listen. Now, right, brilliant. Well, listen, thanks, everyone, for all your input ahead of game week 11. The deadline is, of course, 11.30 UK time, Saturday morning, an hour before Bournemouth and Man United kick everything off. If you're after more content while you're preparing your team, like the FPL show or FPL FYI, then head over to PremierLeague.com. In the meantime, many thanks for being with us today, Adrian Lee and Jules. Congratulations once more.
Thank you.
My French friend.
It won't last.
Good luck this weekend, and you too, listener. We'll be back with you next week. Hopefully you'll join us then. For now, from all of us here, it's goodbye.